Okay, good afternoon. I'll call to order the State Government Budget Division meeting for Monday, February 18th, 2008. We do have a quorum. I think almost everybody here is carrying over from last time. We do have a Senate page for this year, Cassie Warholm Wallenhouse. And so if you need anything during the committee hearing, she's here to help you with that. Otherwise, as I say, we're all here from last year. We're going to be hearing a number of capital investment bills both today and Wednesday. You've got a yellow folder in front of you. On the left side is the Department of Admin's budget or lists, and we'll be doing that on Wednesday. If you want to take a peek at it, about the fourth page in, there's a list of projects that they've ranked and the estimated costs here. But as I say, we'll be looking more at that on Wednesday. The right side of the yellow folder are Amateur Sports Commission proposals, and that's what we're going to be hearing today. It's my understanding that the Capital Investment Committee would like to pretty much finish off the bill, if they can, next week. And Senator Langsdale is here, so we can correct me if I'm wrong. But they have asked that the budget divisions hear the proposals and then send recommendations to the Capital Investment Committee. Obviously, it doesn't help the Capital Investment Committee if we just send them a list of all the bills we heard, because that tells them nothing. They all look the same. So what we're going to do is we're going to hear the bills today and Wednesday, and then we're going to go through a similar exercise as we did last year. I'll give you a list of all the bills that we heard, and then you vote. You rank them, you know, from number one all the way down, and however the votes come out, that's what we're going to tally up, and we'll send it to the Capital Investment Committee saying that this is what the State Government Budget Division thinks are, unless, of course, if anybody feels really strongly that a particular one really ought to go at the top and you want to make that motion, that's fine. Otherwise, we'll just vote, and however the results are, that's what the Capital Investment Committee will get. So we'll start off with Senator Langseth. You've got Senate File 2312, and as I say, if you look through the agenda, you'll see that almost all the bills relate directly to the Amateur Sports Commission, and Paul Erickson is listed the witness on almost every bill, so you might as well just find a spot there and just stick with it, Mr. Erickson, because we'll be hearing a lot from you today, I imagine. So, Senator Langseth, welcome to the committee, and if you want to also give us any further guidance on what we should be doing in order to help you do your job, that would be helpful.
Well, you can get to me after a bit, but I think Paul Erickson is going to give you a little bit of an overview about the Amateur Sports Commission itself.
Okay. Mr. Erickson.
Mr. Chairman, I think it will be helpful for the members of your committee and the audience to just take 2 minutes, and I've got a handout if a page could grab it. And I'm going to refer to the chart on the easel. In the last several months, we did a comprehensive study on where the return on investment is from the investments that the legislature have made over these past 20 years, and we were really pleased. We really have, a news flash document that you're going to find very interesting, and I would ask that after this meeting, your fiscal staff, we be given more details so that you would have a higher level of comfort from this very brief presentation. Basically, as of 2007, Minnesota received $70 million in out-of-state economic impact. And the calculations that we use were confirmed just a couple of years ago when the Trade and Economic Development staff did an independent study of our numbers. And one of the reasons why our numbers are so good and so empirical, if you go to a professional sports stadium and you look at the crowd and you say how many people are from out-of-state, how many in-state, you really don't know. But every time we run an event, if we have a 100-team hockey tournament, the teams are registered. So there's X teams from Iowa, X from Wisconsin, X from North Dakota. So the data that you see in front of you that makes that $70 million is all empirical. The study that DTED did showed that out of that $70 million, $4.3 million is returned to the state treasury, ends up back in the state treasury. And recently we did a calculation on the $50 million that you've invested in the Big 11 facilities. Your annual cost is around $3.8 million in principal and interest on bonds going back several years. So the net benefit to the state, and as a backdrop to the presentations you're going to hear today, that when there's a big concern about infrastructure, jobs, and good investments, you actually get a net gain from your outlay of almost $500,000, and there's the $66 million of out-of-state money that flows in to these local economies in Blaine and Rochester and so on. So we feel this is a very important piece of information that's a backdrop, and the DTED study showed that this type of economic impact actually supports over 1,100 jobs annually as well. So this is good infrastructure, a good jobs initiative, and it does. We haven't even spoken to the 5 million visitors that these 11 facilities have that provide quality, healthy activities for Minnesotans. So, Mr. Chairman, it's that backdrop that we present our first project today on the docket, and I'll turn it back to Senator Langseth to introduce the Northwest Regional Sports
Center. Senator Langseth.
Well, just to make a general statement about the process here, each one of your budget divisions has a piece of the pie, and you send your recommendations. I got to put together the whole pie. And I take a few things into consideration that maybe some of you don't, simply because you've just got a fairly narrow piece. I do try to balance it somewhat around the state so that all geographic areas of the state do get something. So the process I go through is a little bit different than yours. But we do look at all the recommendations and do what we can. Normally, there's a lot more that come in than I can fund, which is okay. But as far as the bill that's before us now, I usually go into Moorhead on Interstate 94, and they had this big soccer complex there. And I tell you, on Saturdays, there was hundreds and hundreds of cars and people and all these young people playing soccer, and it appeared to me that even though I'm not that much of a soccer fan, it was just a great family recreation, because on Saturdays these families were all together and cheering on the members, particular members of their family. Now the Menards came in and they wanted this particular spot, so they the city of Moorhead sold it to them, and then they were moving their complex further south. And it was going to be quite a bit bigger, but in communication with the Amateur Sports Commission, the Amateur Sports Commission wanted them to enhance it considerably beyond where they had planned, and with the idea that the Amateur Sports Commission then would come into the state and come in with a $4 million request. The city of Moorhead is coming up with a 2-to-1 match. There will be $8 million coming from the state. From the city of Moorhead, and $4 million then from the state. So that's sort of where it's at. And the Amateur Sports Commission did want this area in northwestern Minnesota to the site at Moorhead to be the sports site for that particular area. So that's just kind of generally the background of it. And Scott Hutchins from the city of Moorhead can go ahead and explain further.
And just for all the people here, we have about 8 bills. We've got about 2 hours to process them, which happens to be about 15 minutes per bill. So if you can hopefully keep your comments to within that 15-minute time period, which also may involve some questions, the Budget Division, that would help too. Welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Scott Hutchins, Director of Community Services for the City of Moorhead.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much, members of the committee. Specifically, the request of the City of Moorhead is to greatly expand and enhance an existing investment that the city is making in its soccer fields, as noted by Senator Langseth. The investment from the state of Minnesota will add 7 additional soccer fields, 2 championship-related fields, additional parking and administrative concession, and other utility areas to a 100-acre regional park within which we are currently making our investment. You see a document being distributed that provides an overview of the project, how this project integrates itself into the broader mission of the state of Minnesota for economic development and tourism, how we feel we're very well poised to attract outside dollars into the state of Minnesota, particularly the Canadian market, and most recently with the city being part of a world U18 hockey tournament. I think we can demonstrate that we have those opportunities. So, and again, just to note what Senator Langseth has indicated, the project is matched beyond a general range of 50%. We're matched at 70-30 for this particular investment. So, Mr. Chair and members, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Did you have any other witnesses, too? We had a couple of other people listed. I don't know if they're here as well.
Mr. Chairman, we'll have one more, Mr. Cole Carley. While he's getting set up, I want to give the members some statistics about the impact of the sports travel market. According to the sports travel industry, 15 million amateur sport families travel over 100 miles to a sporting event annually in the United States. This travel reflects $2.7 billion in economic impact and generates 9 million hotel nights annually. Now, I just want to create a little bit of proportion for the members. In Blaine, you have created the world's largest soccer complex with over 50 fields. We get, for our major events, teams from 40 states and 40 foreign countries. If there's a pyramid of participation, the big facility in Blaine appeals to the top 5% of the market. The bigger part of the market is the families that will travel 50, 100, or 150 miles. So if the state only had Blaine, we would only be attracting these, you know, elite teams from around the country. We're unlikely to get many of the teams from Winnipeg or Bismarck because, you know, we're of such a great scale. But as you go down into the pyramid, there are more teams that will travel the 1, 2, and 3 hours. So it makes that has really predicated the idea that Moorhead is the logical hub to draw in the Winnipeg, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, North Dakota market, because that is another piece of the market that we would miss if we only had Blaine. So with that, the person who's been a former president of the Minnesota Association of Convention Visitors Bureau and serves the Fargo Moorhead area, Cole Carley.
Welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. Cole Carley, president of the Fargo Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau. Chairman Betzold, members of the committee, thank you for your time, and I promise only to use a few minutes of it. You know, there's an old saying that goes, some people make things happen, some people watch things happen, and then some people stand around and ask, what happened? Thankfully, you belong to the first group. And one of the things that you make happen, that you do to make things happen, is to reinvest some of the public funds with which you're entrusted back into the cities from which much of it came. Reinvested in projects that will make a difference for those cities and for Minnesota. We thank you for it. Many of those projects involve our youth, and I'm sure that one of your greatest pleasures as legislators must be to help make something happen, as we just talked about, and then to watch its effect grow and blossom, especially where kids are involved. That's why we're here today, to ask for your approval on such a project. The Minnesota Northwest Regional Amateur Sports Center in Moorhead will make a difference for Moorhead, for the surrounding area, and for Minnesota. It will, of course, provide recreational opportunities for Moorhead area kids, enhancing their growth, itself a good reason to proceed with this facility. But it's also going to provide growth for the economy of Moorhead and for the economy of Minnesota. You've seen, and Paul has talked about, how the creation of the National Sports Center in Blaine has enhanced the economy by hosting competitive events that attract young athletes whose families travel from far outside Minnesota and in the process leave an awful lot of money here in our state. This regional sports center will also provide such economic stimulus and simultaneously give these kids a great recreational opportunity. What a combination. I've been in destination marketing for over 17 years. I've learned that events rights holders want to know three things. Do we have the facilities that will show off their events well and house their attendees comfortably? Do we have the volunteers to help make the event go smoothly? And will their attendees be treated well by our community? Now, you'll notice in the handouts, in fact, I think it's about the back page of the handout, there is a list of things that we've hosted in Moorhead and in the greater metropolitan community. And it's a vast and myriad list of things, some of them having been hosted there several times. Moorhead itself has hosted a variety of youth competitions at the state, regional, national, and now international level. Fast pitch and slow pitch softball, basketball, skating, hockey, soccer. In addition, our metropolitan community has welcomed national wrestling, golf, volleyball, hockey, baseball, and an annual marathon with participants from all over the world. These events have two things in common. First of all, they're organized to the last detail, and they're held in great facilities. The second thing is that the participants rave about the how they're embraced by our citizens. There are many tournaments out there to be acquired and to be created. One of the things that we found, I'm sure that Blaine found, at the National Sports Center, one of the great things about building facilities like this is that once the facilities are built, people have this creative way of coming up with more things that never even existed before, more tournaments that aren't even in people's minds today. And as Scott mentioned, we just are one of the participants in an under-18 world hockey tournament who's going to be going on both of our metropolitan communities' facilities, 10 teams from all over the world in 2009. To help lead the effort of those facilities and those events, our Convention and Visitors Bureau has a full-time position devoted to amateur athletic marketing. We've been a member of the National Sports Commission for National Association of Sports Commissions for over 10 years. We were a founding member of Sports North, a cooperative effort of 8 destination marketing organizations that seeks out tournaments for our region. We have the requisite quantity of hotel rooms and the quality of the hotel rooms, also the restaurants, retail locations at which visitors can bolster the local economy with their presence, and more sales taxes will find their way back here to the Capitol. And you know, you've seen for yourselves probably how success can build on success. As more events come to Minnesota, our little part of it is going to continue to be a magnet for growth. This sports park will help bring facilities to families from North and South Dakota, from Canada, the greater region, all over the country, perhaps from across the ocean. Morehead area today is changing, continually upgrading, and will continue to grow. From a tourism standpoint, it's been very successful. Our hotels are busy, our conference center is constantly going, and the housing developments are sprouting up like grass in spring. Morehead right now is a city on fire. We're asking you to help feed those flames of growth. And we promise you, you'll feel warm all over if you do.
I think we should probably correct something you said. Sometimes we do ask what happened around here, too. It does happen. Any questions? Senator Rolstein.
Mr. Chair, whoever would be best qualified to answer this. On the proposal for the YMCA, is that something that's kind of on the books, or is that just in a long-range plan?
Okay. Mr. Hutchins?
Mr. Chair, members, the city has set aside, we have a purchase agreement with the YMCA for the property and for the site that's noted on that site plan. So we're continuing to work with them. And they have done their marketing and are ready to move forward with that project. And, of course, that's a complementary but separate facility in total from this request and the one that you're reviewing.
Thank you.
Senator Robley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure who could best answer this either, but just like we refer to the Twin Cities all the time together, we refer to Fargo-Moorhead all the time together. And I'm wondering about Fargo and the facilities that they might have available in their community. I guess I don't want to set up a real competition in two communities that typically are closely aligned. And, you know, I'm not trying to take things away from North Dakota. I realize Fargo's their biggest population base. So what do they have in similar facilities to what you're proposing?
Well, actually, Senator, members of the committee, thank you. Actually, one of the things that we did a few years ago was we commissioned at our convention, Vera participated in helping to fund a study of the metropolitan sports in our metro area sports facilities to inventory exactly what we had and therefore to try to figure out where we should grow. Because like you, we were concerned that we'd put up soccer fields on this side of the river, soccer fields on that side of the river, ice here, ice there. And so we're forming a comprehensive sports plan for that. We do have some facilities on the Fargo side of the river. This will be far larger than what we have over there. Just as a proposed ice facility that's going on over in Fargo will be a little bit larger than some of the sheets in Moorhead. So we're trying to develop those things so that we don't so the two cities can grow together.
Any further questions?
If that answers your question,
Mr. Chair,
Senator Roebling.
It helps. I'm just hoping that the market is big enough to accommodate both types of facilities from both communities, and that you've done some market study analysis to indicate that this would be a complementary to whatever is already existing.
Senator, members of the committee, Chairman Betzold, thank you. Yes, we've got we have plenty of facilities, and the facilities that we have are designed to, as we said, we're trying to make sure that the facilities on one side of the river don't compete too much with the facilities on the other, and that we are able to. As a matter of fact, the two cities working together can often host something that's even larger than we can host individually.
Mr. Erickson?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Roebling, I've made several trips to Fargo-Moorhead, and one of the things I think is good strategically about the large event soccer complex being on the Moorhead side of the river is that Fargo has a couple of smaller size parks, and so it's good strategy for Minnesota to have the 16-field complex on our side. And just to, for members to have perspective, with the 55 fields in Blaine, this will be the largest soccer park between Blaine and, I believe, Idaho. And so for all of the activity from the Dakotas and Montana, it will be prestigious for the teams from the whole western region to come to tournaments there. And we think it's a good thing that a lot of those Fargo teams will have to come over and play in Moorhead, so to eat at Moorhead restaurants and fill up with gas there. So in this case, there is no duplication that this facility will determine that the event soccer facility will be on the Moorhead side of the river.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Anything further? Well, as I indicated, we're going to lay all the bills over. Then after Wednesday's hearing, we're going to vote to rank them. So we'll just keep what your comments are in mind. So thank you very much.
Chair members, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Langseth. Senator Senge, I'll bet you're here on the Rochester volleyball issue. Is that you?
Senator Lynch.
And Senator Lynch.
I know Senator Lynch is, but I see Senator Senge here. I don't see is.
Or a team.
Okay. So I'm assuming you're here together on this one, so we'll go to that one. And then the next will be Senator Fredrickson, because he also has some people here from out of town. So Senator Lynch and, I guess, Senator Senge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Lynch.
We are here today with Senate File 2599, and pleased to be here with my good friend, colleague, and teammate, Senator Senge. We bring you the National Volleyball Center bill and are delighted to share with you that this is the number one priority of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission in terms of their request this year. This is a request for $4 million to complete phase two of this project. The initial phase the legislature approved in 1996. We again have Mr. Erickson with us today, and Chubb Stewart from the Rochester community is here. Senator Senge, I don't know if you have any opening remarks.
Senator Senge.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this, as you will hear, is a project that's been around a long time. It's been partially completed, but for a number of events, which I won't get into, it has never been fully completed. We initially actually started this when I was on the Rochester City Council, having gotten a bonding allocation that was, as I recall, maybe about half of what we'd asked for and, frankly, what we really needed to put together a full facility. So we're anxious in the city of Rochester to get this completed. You will hear that Rochester has really evolved into a volleyball capital, and we have many great tournaments. People coming from around certainly the region, in fact even internationally, and we've got the infrastructure with respect to an amateur sports commission locally. We've got many volunteers. We've had great success, but we don't quite have the kind of facility yet that's really necessary to carry on that first-class volleyball tournament. And so it's for that that we ask your consideration of this. And I would defer now to Mr. Chubb Stewart, I believe, or Mr. Erickson. They can
Mr.
take their
Erickson,
choice.
Do you want to make some comments before we go, Mr. Stewart?
Again, what I try to do is put the project in perspective from the state strategy. And as both senators mentioned, this is the agency's number one priority, and it has been for several years. And the legislature, either body, has approved this several times. It was approved by the legislature, unfortunately vetoed by Ventura. And so this has passed your test many times in the past. We're here again to get this done and to get it done right. The other thing I want to mention, in addition to a number one, as far as agency priority, the Rochester Amateur Sports Commission is the number one city sports commission in the state and perhaps the 10-state region. And it's a little, awkward. We have three staff from the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. They have five full-time staff in Rochester for the City Sports Commission. That's how much they've grown that business and how, as you'll hear in just a minute from the Convention and Visitor Bureau Director, how important that piece of business is for the whole hospitality industry for Rochester. And the thing that I want the members to think of, again, is that you know this from the people in your families, people on the block. There's a sports family that is traveling somewhere almost every weekend. And you ask yourself, you know, local people will travel to an ordinary rink or an ordinary volleyball court. But if you're going to get visitors from other states that are going to travel several hundred miles, you've got to have a signature facility, just like Blaine is in soccer, just as some of the other facilities. But this facility has the respect of the volleyball community. International teams, national teams, and multiple states have come there. So you're investing in success. It's not like many times you legislate to fix a problem. This is a situation where phase two is investing in existing success and making it bigger and better. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Chubb Stewart, who's vice chair of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, and he'll provide a little more detail on why this is an important regional project.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. As Paul indicated,
first, could you identify yourself for record? But before
yes,
you members, if you look in your yellow folder again, you can also get supplemental information on each one of the requests. The Amateur Sports Commission, if you haven't noticed that yet. Welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, my name is Chubb Stewart. I am the Vice Chair of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. I've been on the commission for 18 years. I'm from the city of Rochester and a member of the Rochester Amateur Sports Commission. I want to just give you a little bit of background as to what we're trying to do. We're trying to finish a project that should have been completed initially back in 1996. When the state of Minnesota passed the enabling legislation in 1987, creating the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, the intent was to create Olympic quality training center for every Olympic sport, winter and summer, here in Minnesota. And by 1989, communities throughout the state had been pre-identified to house these major sports venues. As an example, at Blaine, it was obviously soccer. At St. Cloud, it was a national hockey center. At the University of Minnesota, it was the aquatic center. Up in Boabik, it was cross-country skiing and so forth. And the planning committee that put the legislation into action in 89 pre-identified Rochester to be the National Sports Center for Volleyball. And the legislation required that wherever we were going to build throughout the state of Minnesota Olympic-quality training centers, they must first have the approval of the national governing body of the Olympic committees that supported these sports. So we put our plan together, and we had to meet several times with the Olympic folks and with USA Volleyball, which is a national governing body, to design the facility. We came forward to the state, and in 1996, a proposal to build a $7.3 million facility was presented, with Rochester providing $2.3 million and a request from the state for $5 million, and we had every indication at that time that that would happen. In the 11th hour of the final decision-making process, our grant request was cut from $5 million to $2.3, and so we unfortunately had to delete from our plans many of the things that made us truly an Olympic-quality training center. Locker rooms, as an example, were eliminated. Media rooms, a special medical room for the injuries, and we have injuries with every tournament, and we have tournaments almost every weekend. We have sprained legs, ankles, thigh muscles pulled, and so forth. We don't have a facility to deal with that. The Olympic Committee wanted meeting rooms for coaches, for referees, a center where we could review videotapes of the teams that were in training at the center, and so forth. All of that had to be eliminated, including a competition center, a major one-room facility that would be Olympic quality a court with seating. That was all eliminated. And we've been coming back to the legislature ever since to try to complete the project and fulfill the commitment that we made to the state that we would build such a facility. As Paul indicated, it's been done before, and it's been vetoed by a prior governor. Right now, we have been constantly in contact with the Olympic folks, trying to attract to our state major Olympic events, training events. And because all of the infrastructure that was necessary to make it a truly an Olympic training center was eliminated in that first phase because of the cutback we received. Let me just read you a brief statement from a 2005 edition of the Sporting Events magazine. The headlines is Salt Lake City Home Court to USA Volleyball 2005 Girls Championships. And it reads as follows. For the third time in 5 years, USA Volleyball has chosen Salt Lake City to host one of its premier Junior Olympic Championship events for 2005. The event will feature nearly 800 of the best junior volleyball players from every state in the nation. Utah Sports Commission President Jeff Rogers said the upcoming event is expected to bring 40,000 to 50,000 people into the city, making it the largest sporting event held in Utah outside of the 2002 Olympic Winter Games. The annual event, which showcases girls aged 12 to 18 competing daily in numerous divisions, is expected to draw about 300 college coaches and recruiters seeking future team players. Senators, that could have been and should have been in Rochester in the state of Minnesota with those tax dollars coming into our state if we'd built it as it was designed originally. And we've been coming back, and we've had great support in the Senate. We're hoping we get great support again. We want to finish this project. We will be bidding for these kind of events to bring these kind of dollars into the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Any questions? And do you have another witness here for Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Brad Jones, Executive Director, Rochester Convention and Visitors Bureau. I'd like to take just a moment and thank you for your time. Really, the National Volleyball Center is really a sound economic investment for not only Rochester, but I really think all of Southeast Minnesota. In Rochester, we have a unique business model, if you will. We have about 5,500 hotel rooms, and a very large, in fact, second largest industry in our city is the hospitality industry, and we pride ourselves on going after events such as sporting events to fill weekend and need dates. Holiday tournaments and weekend tournaments are ideal for our community. And the National Volleyball Center, if completed, will really make a profound impact on our community. When you talk about these types of events, we've made an investment as a city. The Convention and Visitors Bureau is the parent company for the Amateur Sports Commission, and as it was stated before, we have 5 full-time staff members. Last year, the Convention and Visitors Bureau booked about 100,000 room nights, and that 100,000 room nights represents about $26 million in money, direct expenditures to our community. Of that, nearly 40% of those bookings were directly related to sports, and that's really why we've made the big investment into the Sports Commission and our venues. As previous CVB director pointed out, it's all about venues first, people second, and an economic model that's successful third, and that's very true. We think that this is, as I said before, an economic development project that will continue to put Rochester on the map. Our Sports Commission was able last year, this is a terrific story, we're able to book about 15 national tournaments, national in scope tournaments. We are on the national scene, and we have the attention of all the national governing bodies, including volleyball. We just need the facility to be completed to make the next step in volleyball. Thank you.
Any questions? Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, on your cost breakdown sheet, The local contribution, is that primarily some land donation, or is there a cooperation with the school? I see it's adjacent to the high school.
That land is owned by the school district, and we would have to compensate them for that. So our the biggest piece of our contribution would be the acquisition of that land. And then we would have to, and then parking is another major significant factor. But we have Mr. Ron Bastian of our Park and Rec Department here that can address that if you'd like.
A follow-up.
Okay, Senator Cindy, do you have another question? If Mr. Bastian wants to come out to respond, but Senator Cindy, do you have another question?
Well, I know some former Rochester school board members, and I was just wondering if the school district can work out a cooperation agreement with the city, or if there already is some existing things like that, so that
Ron Bastian, I'm director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Rochester. We operate the facility, Mr. Chair, members. When we built the facility back in 19 and opened in 1998, there was a cooperative agreement between the school district and the City of Rochester, and that's how we operate to maximize use and to maximize local dollars and local contributions. So, yes, we're looking at doing a cooperative project with them on land and infrastructure as well.
Thank you.
And could you give us a spelling of your last name? We didn't. Since it was
it's Bastian, B-A-S-T-I-A-N.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Well, thank you. I do note, as I was looking through the, although this is the number one project recommended by the National Sports Commission, the governor did not support capital funding for any of the projects that we're going to be hearing. So we'll just keep that in mind and hope that we can get something done. Senator Lynch.
On that fine note,
yeah.
Mr.
Well,
Chair.
We governor proposes, legislature disposes. We'll have our say. So.
One of the, I think that the final thought that I'd like to leave you with, as you look at these projects and as the bonding committee continues to look at their priorities, there are projects that bring growth and economic development and new revenue to the state of Minnesota, and I am pleased to bring forward a project that does just that.
So, Sanchum, did you have anything else to add to?
Mr. Chair and members, I think we'll leave it on those good words.
Thank you. Okay, well, thank you very much. And as I say, we'll just add this to the list of things we're going to be considering when we consider the whole package on Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Frederickson, I believe you also have some people here from out of town, so let's take your Senate File 2349.
Nobody told me.
Welcome to the Budget Division, Senator Frederickson.
Thank you very much. Second. Mr. Chairman, members, Senate File 2349 would appropriate $100,000 to pre-design the Southwest Regional Sports Center located in Marshall. It has a certain similarity to Senator Langseth's bill for Northwest Minnesota. If you look at a map of Minnesota and where the amateur sports facilities are now, the regional sports from the sports facilities, you look at Northwest, and we're particularly concerned about Southwest Minnesota, where we've kind of lagged behind on these facilities. There are significant amateur athletic facilities in Marshall now. What we want to do is take that to the next step and make it the regional sports center, an official regional sports center. This proposal has the support of the City of Marshall, Lyon County, the Marshall School District, Southwest Minnesota State University, Swan Food, and many others.
Okay.
I have four people here with Paul to talk further about this, so I'll just ask them to continue on.
Who wants to go first? Mr. Erickson, did you want to give us some background here?
Yep. I want the committee to appreciate that before we viewed Marshall, we said, let's look at doing a study. Senator Frederickson and the University of Minnesota's tourism group worked with us, and I'll pass this copy around. If any member at a later date, we're killing a few trees today, and so we don't want to make this report available to everyone. But as a preamble to this discussion about locating a regional amateur sport center in Marshall, Minnesota, the question is, if we upgraded facilities with state dollars, would people come? And a very comprehensive study was done over the last year. It was a market assessment study. 1,000 sport representatives were contacted in 10, 11 sports. About a third of them responded, and roughly two-thirds of the respondents said they looked at Marshall as a quality destination. We went further and said, how many events is Marshall holding now? Marshall is blessed to have State University and other nice amenities, and we were pleased to find they right now are hosting 70 tournaments a year, primarily in the facilities that they have as quality facilities, basketball and volleyball, because the high school and State University has good facilities. Now, here's one thing that was quite interesting. When we split the visitors, these 3,000, 4,000 some visitors, even a little more than that, a good chunk come from out of state because Marshall is positioned so close to South Dakota that practically every basketball, every volleyball, every hockey tournament they run, they're getting a bump from out-of-state visitors bringing new money into the economy. So I want the committee to understand that from this study we learned that there's a strong willingness of people to come, especially if they build and enhance their facilities. But also, get this, there was like 700,000 of new money coming into Minnesota from outside Minnesota, and that would have about a $1.1 million economic impact currently. And so we were so pleased. We were pleasantly surprised that it was better than we thought. So with that context, we've got three officials from Marshall. And first off is their economic development director, Mark Hansen, and then we'll go to the other visitors.
Welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair. Mark Hansen, Economic Development Director, City of Marshall, and members of the committee. Thank you for having me today. It really excites me to sit here and listen to what's going on in Rochester and in Moorhead and say, you know, that's a potential for Marshall. As Paul has already said, we've already established a good culture in Marshall for bringing tournaments forward. 70 tournaments already, working with basketball and baseball, volleyball, and even dance. And we're looking to the future of looking at soccer and hockey. And as an economic development director, look at how is that going to help our hospitality industry, bringing in more potential restaurants, more hotels, et cetera, et cetera. So as we look at that, we say, how can we use that to our advantage? Looking at potential recruitment, as far as we have a wonderful city, a wonderful area to work in, and we have jobs that are open right now, we say, well, we could use this amateur sports complex as a way to, you know, market our community. And as economic development director, we're working right now to say, okay, in the future, we're going to be having that. Let's look at other opportunities that face us. Having the quality facilities will allow us to say, and we can attract more events to our community than we had in the past. Right now, you say we had 70 events. What can that become in the future? So we're looking very excited about what that potential can be. And the big thing is we are a gap between Sioux Falls and St. Minneapolis. A gap in the region that we could definitely fill that gap as far as a regional sports complex.
Go ahead.
Okay, before I ask the chair of the Marshall Amateur Sports Commission to speak, I want to just describe what they're looking at. Because of the facilities they have in place, they're doing a great job already in the volleyball, basketball, baseball. But in Minnesota, the number one and two sports tourism sports are soccer and hockey, and there's plenty of participants in that region, but our southwest regional site is deficient. So just as Blaine has 55 soccer fields and Moorhead will have 16, we're looking at a 10 to 12 field complex that is really part of the high school State University super campus, and then a two-sheet multi-purpose building for ice. That would round it out, and we know that their numbers of economic impact would jump up because then they would have the full program. They could cater to the primary team sports. As Senator Fredrickson mentioned, Marshall put a blue ribbon committee together that has representatives in the city, county, school district, economic development authority, chamber of commerce. The chair of that group is Dr. Jane Willett, and she's chief of staff of the local hospital, and she's spearheading the effort. So we
like to hear from her.
Welcome to the Budget Division, Doctor. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, I'm Jane Willett, family practitioner in Marshall, Minnesota. I'm the chair of the steering committee for this project. I'm here for a number of reasons, and I appreciate your time today. First of all, I'm a physician, and so I'm, of course, interested in health. And we all know that sports are an important part of health, and we need to reverse the trend of obesity in children and adults, and this will keep our families healthy in Minnesota. Secondly, I am a very big sports enthusiast, having played three sports in high school and one in college. And I follow sports very significantly in Marshall, even ones that my children are not involved in. I have three children ages 15 to 21, and they've been in sports ranging from football, basketball, baseball, softball, marching band, cross country, hockey. That's it. Anyway.
How do you find time to practice?
Yeah. And as a sports mom, I've also been a traveling mom.
Sure.
And I have a Suburban for a good reason. And so I've traveled all over Minnesota, South Dakota, Iowa to sports events for my children. And I think it'd be great if we could have a better sports facility in Marshall so that our kids could stay home more and their moms could stay home more.
Thank you very much. Any questions, Dr. Wood? Sarah Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, because you're not on the border in Marshall, but you're pretty close to the South Dakota border. And I know that Brookings isn't too far away and that they have some nice sports facilities, too. I'm wondering the same thing I was with the Fargo-Moorhead folks is, do we have enough events to fill both venues in both Brookings and Marshall, or will we simply be taking events away from another community if we have a facility like this?
Mr. Erickson?
Chairman, Senator Roebling, several years ago, you as a legislature had a program, Mighty Kicks grant program for building soccer fields across Minnesota, and the U.S. Soccer Federation has done a similar thing. Because soccer has eclipsed all other sports in participation. I mean, it is the number one played youth sport in Minnesota. There is a national shortage of soccer fields. When we had that program, you funded 140 fields, but we had requests for 400 fields. South Dakota and North Dakota and Montana have the same dilemma. We have calls from all over the country. Rapid City, South Dakota is trying to build a 16-field complex to meet their local needs and to complement their tourism. So you start, when you look at soccer fields especially, there is a shortage, so there's no danger to build these, they won't get utilized. Then the second factor is this, the market's dynamic. Other places in the country are going to build quality complexes that draw the out-of-state visitor. So if we're static, we won't capture our fair share of that pizza pie. And so that, you know, because these discriminating soccer teams from Sioux Falls, they'll do 3-4 tournaments a year, and just even though Rapid City might have a good complex, if Marshall has a good complex, we're going to be on that rotation, and we're going to capture a percentage of that dollar. If Marshall doesn't build that complex, that Sioux Falls under-14 elite girls team is going to do 3 tournaments in South Dakota and 1 in Omaha. So there's a general shortage, and that the market's dynamic, and that we need to get our fair share. That's how we would look at it. We have one more presenter. Roger Madison, the president of Bremer Bank, for another business perspective on amateur sports. Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to the Budget Division.
Roger Madison, Bremer Bank in Marshall. And thank you, Chair and committee members. Maybe a little bit of the answer to your question, Senator, as well, is that I look at this as the economic impact that it has and the way it fits into economic strategies that we have in Marshall. We know that today's modern family is looking for quality. The services and products they deal with. We see this in their housing, in their schooling. In fact, Marshall itself, this last November, passed a levy referendum, not passing just one question, but 2 questions, because the people there believe in quality for their education system as well as other aspects of their life. We look to that same kind of thing as we bring people from out of the community in tourism, but also as in businesses, employers, and employees. That quality we look at as recruitment amenities that we need to have in place in order to convince people that Southwest Minnesota is a great place to relocate to for those dynamics. The other part of this is that we have a very good start with the contiguous campuses of Southwest Minnesota State University and Marshall High School. That allows us to build on some facilities and structure that's already there. It's an educational sports regional core. This will advance that and benefit all the entities involved, the high school, the college, and the community as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? They're all seen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions. The first one would be with the hockey or the ice sheets, how's the conversion of that work? You know, those are both, you know, for basketball, those are kind of the same season sports, and I'm just wondering how that conversion would work. And then the second question, if you're only asking for $100,000 for pre-design at this point, what is the plans for financing the other approximately $4 million?
Mr. Erickson?
On the first question?
Go ahead.
Senator, on the first question? In Marshall right now we have basically a pole barn that is our hockey facility. It is over 20 years old. It is cold, damp, not very friendly environment. And we have hosted some hockey tournaments, but they are not quality hockey tournaments. And in order to host a good, solid hockey tournament at all age levels, you have to have more than one sheet of ice. And so the plan is to build a two-sheet facility right next to the existing high school, because the current facility is outside of town, and make it also a environment and maybe a meeting area for other things. We aren't planning on converting the gyms to ice or back and forth. It'll be a new structure next to the high school for two sheets.
Mr. Erickson.
The patterns being set by the Amateur Sports Commission in this phase, when we built the original facilities, Aquatic Center at the U, National Sports Center, Blaine, those were really significant national-caliber facilities. These regional facilities, if you look at our request this year, $4 million for Rochester, $4 million for Moorhead, is that I think the general plan right now is the $100,000 does the pre-design so that the outdoor fields and the ice multi-purpose facility is designed correctly, and that there would be likely a $4 million request in the legislature, of which the balance, which would be at least $4 million locally, probably more, like the Moorhead project, would come from local sources. And I've been really impressed. The dozen trips that I've made to Marshall over the last 3 years with the Schwann Food Company there, other major businesses like Bremer Bank, and they have done public-private partnerships to build one of the finest regional high schools, YMCA, airport terminal. They have a record that they really make things happen. And so that this is the community. They get some planning money now. We come back and do partial funding from the state. They'll have the wherewithal to complete the project.
Senator Fredrickson.
Chairman, Senator Rothstein, just to add what Mr. Erickson said about local support, there would be very significant local support in terms of hard dollars. If you, the list that Mr. Erickson listed failed to mention the Southwest State University Event Center, which I think is about $11 million of state money and several million dollars of private contribution. So there would be a very significant local effort to make this happen.
Any further questions? Well, thank you for coming in from Marshall today, and as I say, we'll be giving this consideration on Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. We'll take up Senator Michelle's bill and give Mr. Erickson a few minutes of break, and then Senator Salzman, you'll be at right after that. So this will be Senate File 959, which means it was introduced last year. So.
Of course. All right.
Okay. Welcome to the Budget Division, Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 959 allows us to talk about a unique sport and a unique facility not too far down the road from the Capitol here. Ski jumping. This is one of the things that actually makes sense here in Minnesota, given our climate. And we've got a unique physical structure down at the corner of 494 and Highway 100. You're driving on 494 and you look to your south, you can't miss it. It's a real landmark now on the West Bloomington side, just west of Highway 100.
It'd be across from the hotel, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I still call it the Bloomington.
They keep changing the name. I don't even know what it is right now. So.
That's right. And I think in a nutshell, members, what we want to talk to you about today is the equivalent of artificial turf for a ski jump. Like most sports, the need to practice year-round would now require a new kind of material on the ski jump. And so that's the proposal that's before you, and I'd like you to hear from the two gentlemen with me, starting with Mr. Jeff Denny.
Welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jeff Denny, member of the Minneapolis Ski Club. Thank you for taking the time to hear about our project today. As Senator Michelle described, ski jumping was born here in the United States, right here in Minnesota. At one time, we actually held the world record in ski jumping in Red Wing, Minnesota, many years ago. But today, the sport has evolved to the point that it is a year-round sport, and it requires for our kids, for the development of the athletes, that they compete on a year-round basis and ski on these summer surfaces, which are very common throughout Europe and in spots throughout the United States as well, including the Olympic facilities in Lake Placid, New York, and Park City, Utah. The handout that we've provided with you describes a little bit about the facility where it's located, which, as you see on our pictorial here, for those who aren't familiar with the area, it'd be one thing to point out on the map is the location of the facility is on the northernmost point. And Representative Peterson's going to note that the northernmost point of the Highland Park Reserve, which is about a 1,000 to 2,000 acre natural park facility. And at the northern point of that, where the jump is located, the ski club used to own that land, a big chunk of that land. It was deeded to the county years ago as part of the park development. And the ski club has been around in that site since the early part of the 1900s and continue to have development of ski jumpers there throughout the decades. If you look on the second page, you can see that Minnesota's had a great tradition of developing Olympic athletes. We've had 32 members of the Winter Olympic teams over the years from here in Minnesota. About a half of those have come from the metro area here, the rest from outstate Minnesota. And it's just been, like I said, part of our heritage here in Minnesota.
Are you related to the Dennys that are listed here?
I do have a little relationship there, yes.
Okay. Okay.
Actually, two of my brothers and I competed internationally in the 1970s and 1980s. We were all, at one time in 1977, the three of us won the three different crowns of the national championships all in one year. Never happened before in a sport of skiing. And now I have nephews and a son that's involved in the sport actively, and that unfortunately I've got to travel to be able to compete. My son currently lives in Park City, Utah, to be able to take advantage of the summer and year-round skiing out there. As I said, we've got a number of Olympians from here. As you can see, the next page shows a picture of the facility as it is decked out in the wintertime. But what we miss out on is about 9 months worth of skiing that we could otherwise be doing with a summer surface, which is very common. It sounds a little strange, but it's actually probably safer and more consistent than the winter ice, freeze, thaw sorts of conditions that we have to put up with in the wintertime. It's very consistent throughout the summer months and serves the sport very, very well, and they actually compete exactly like they do in the summer as they do in the wintertime. The last page is an insert that we put in that's a picture of the black and white picture there, which we did have some PowerPoints, but didn't have that set up ahead of time. But it's a picture of the Park City Olympic jumps. You can see they're built into the mountain there. But they have a plastic surface on them, and the surface is actually a green texture. And you see in the lower left corner there a little insert. It almost looks like a shingled roof, but with it's almost plastic strands is what it amounts to. It just has a simple water sprinkling system, and the jumpers can go equally as far as they can in the winter months, and it serves the sport very, very well. And as was mentioned in one of the earlier projects, this facility was approved by the legislature, the original capital improvement back in 1998 was, again, the budget was cut, so we weren't able to finish phase two, which would have been the summer surface, and we've come back several times and now hope to do that, which would be a great boost. There is one other facility here in Minnesota that was funded by the state legislature, and that's in Coleraine, Minnesota. Does have the summer surface that was added to it, and it does serve the northern part of the state very well. But again, here in the metro, we do not have that facility for a summer surface on our landmark jump in Bloomington.
So even when it's like 100 degrees in July, they can still downhill ski? Is that how it works?
The kids put on their their equipment, and yes, they strip down the shirt sleeves on the way up, but yes, it's amazing. They can ski in the hottest of summer days. And it's great for the spectators, I might add. Rather than being out there on a chilly day, it's nice to be out there in the summertime. When also, just to add, if any of you are looking for something to do this weekend, we do have a big event at the jumps, both Saturday all day, Saturday evening, and Sunday.
Okay. Any questions? And we also have, Mr. Brose?
Yes, my name is Jack Brose. I'm a vice president of the Minneapolis Ski Club. I've been in that position almost 20 years and also part of the site development. And as Jeff referred to, you know, this project's been an evolution. Again, the club is about 100 years old. And the piece that we're looking at here today for you to consider is again, just a piece. We have coordinated with Lifetime Fitness for training facilities. We're not looking to add redundancy to what's in this strip, the hotel space, the jobs, the opportunities this would afford the skiers in our community is just tremendous. And again, this is just the one piece to add the summer surface so that it can be part of the bigger picture. And again, please come out this weekend.
Mr. Chair, just a note. I'm sorry we weren't able to put together the PowerPoint, but the cover of the handout, it is true. Senator Larson from Bloomington is a ski jumper.
Really? Senator Larson?
That's a very old picture, Mr. Chairman.
It would have to be. Yeah. Senator Oldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering how this kind of a surface, this year-round surface, compares to the actual ice. I mean, and is ski jumping, it isn't really timed, so it's mostly in the aerial performance, I would imagine. So if it's slower or faster, it doesn't really make that much difference? Or how does it compare to the real thing?
Thank you, Senator. Okay. Actually, the summer surface is as fast, if not faster, than an iced track in the wintertime. And the reason we do that, it's the in-run is made out of actually a China porcelain material, which I tried to explain it. I wish I had a visual here to demonstrate to you, but it's almost like visualize maybe the top half of marbles you'd be riding down on. They don't move, but they're just these little bumps in the track, and that they have a fine mist of water on them, and it's amazing. But the track is very consistent, equally as fast. They attain just as fast the speeds as they do in the wintertime, and then the landing surface is firm yet forgiving, so that a person could jump just as far as they could in the wintertime. So it's amazing.
Chelsea?
Mr. Chair, thank you. What is your budget request?
The request is for $550,000. Original phase one that was funded in 1998 was $500,000.
Yeah, we have the bill before us, yeah.
Yep.
Oh. Anything further? Okay, well, I think, gentlemen, you've been here, and I think Sarah Michelle was here earlier when I described the process. We're going to be hearing all the bills today as well as some Department of Administration bills on Wednesday, and then we're going to be passing out a list for all the members of the Budget Division to basically vote them and rank them, and then we'll be sending the total rank to the Capital Investment Committee. So that's how we'll be processing it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Senator Salzman, are you here? Okay. This will be Senate File 2348. Senator Salzman.
Thank you,
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a pleasure to be here with you today, and Paul Erickson will be joining me, and Jill Carlson. You know, I think there was a sign this weekend about this bill because I believe on Saturday night the Miracle on Ice was on a replay, and just moments ago on the floor of the Senate, just spontaneously, a group of young hockey players appeared after session. So perhaps that's a sign that this has a is being considered. This is Senate File 2348. Is a bill that calls for the reestablishment of the highly successful Mighty Ducks Ice Arena Grant Program. Between 1995 and 2000, this program provided 61 new ice arenas to be built, and 74 older arenas were then renovated. And Senator Metzen was a champion of this legislation in those years. It really is important because it leverages local resources. Right now, hockey parents are driving miles to find facilities. I think we've heard that with some of our other facilities as well. The Mighty Ducks program was also very successful in that it facilitated real growth in girls and women's hockey in Minnesota, as well as providing resources for a growing figure skating area as well. The program benefits the entire state in every congressional district, and every congressional district had a multiple grant recipients. This new bill requests $5 million, and if this amount was awarded, it would provide 14 new arena grants with $250,000 each, and then 15,000 renovation grants of $50,000 each. The Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission has received requests from many different Minnesota communities, and so this addresses programs throughout the state. I think that as we look at healthy activities, you know, certainly hockey is something that is a year-round sport in Minnesota. We have certainly a great tradition here. And at this time, I'd like to ask Paul Erickson from the MASC to speak to this particular bill.
Thank you. And Mr. Erickson, I particularly address the fact how the grants will be distributed if this is to be approved. So,
okay. Mr. Erickson. Mr. Chairman, the procedure by which the agency used for that six-year period was the Amateur Sports Commission Board, which has 11 gubernatorial and six legislative appointees, would have a committee of six or seven members, and then staff would publish an RFP so that all communities in Minnesota could apply. Staff would evaluate the applications, rank them. The committee would review the rankings, and then it would go to the full board, and the full board of the Amateur Sports Commission would award the grant proposal. So, and we're very proud of the legislative audit review of Mighty Ducks grants over that six-year period. We always receive very high marks about a program that treated everybody fairly. And the other thing that our agency was very proud of is that some government entities take, you know, many, many months to deliver a program to the public. Often when the legislature approved a program in May, we would publish the RFP in June. We would review candidates over the summer and do awards in the fall. So it was a very quick turnaround, and many good programs were funded. Now, the one thing that one myth out there in the early days, Mr. Chairman and members, was that the state is building communities their ice arena. And at the time of the Mighty Ducks program, the average cost of an ice arena in Minnesota was $2.5 to $3 million. So the state's share was, you know, like, what, 10%. But for some reason, the opportunity to get a state grant really motivated communities across the state, and they would put coalitions together and city funding and county funding to do this. So it really was a catalyst so that the $18 million that the state invested over that time period probably leveraged over $100 million of spending on building new ice arenas. So, and one thing I just wanted to suggest, you know, if you were a community in Minnesota that was ready to build an ice arena between 1995 and 2000, you had this opportunity. If your community, for whatever reason, is in that process today, like Big Lake Becker or Halleck or Forest Lake, you don't have that opportunity. So this legislation intent is to create that opportunity that was made available to all Minnesota communities during that time period. And the other thing, just don't want to forget about the renovation. Many of the arenas had very poor locker rooms. When girls and women started to get into hockey, some of the amenities were unfit for boys or girls. And so a lot of locker rooms were rebuilt and upgraded, toilet facilities. So it really performed an important role for existing arenas. I've got a member on my board who's one of the best board members, along with Senator Salzman, is also a member of the Amateur Sports Commission. But Joel Carlson does a lot of volunteer work and pro bono work for the Minnesota Youth Hockey Association, and Joel would like to provide his perspective because he's very involved in hockey. And I should do a disclosure. Joel and I play hockey Sunday nights with Representative Phyllis Kahn, several other legislators. The governor will show up once in a while. So we've got a bias. We want to disclose that, you have people here who are playing hockey on a regular basis. Joel.
What kind of hockey players are they?
we don't divulge that. That's the code.
Okay, I Mr. Carlson, welcome to the Budget Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul. I maybe have a chance to see some of you on other issues, but I'm here as a volunteer on behalf of the Amateur Sports Commission. First of all, I'd like to thank all of the work that you do to look at these projects. I have a vivid memory of the legislative pothole rally up at the Blaine Center this summer, and I know it takes a big commitment of your time to look at all these projects and evaluate them. I also volunteer and represent Minnesota Hockey, which is the largest youth hockey organization in the country. We have over 65,000 Minnesota households participating in hockey in Minnesota, and 14,000 of those or more are girls who are now involved in the sport. We think a large growth, a large part of the growth in girls hockey in Minnesota is a result of the Mighty Ducks grant program, which provided so many additional facilities in the state. We do have a number of communities that are looking to expand their arena capabilities, and we're here just on behalf of the commission to seek your support for this program, and all of the requests that we have before you are all worthy and great projects, and we appreciate your support for them. Be happy to answer any questions, and I won't divulge anything about our hockey talents, but I'll say that Phyllis is our team leader, and it all flows from there. So, thank
Who's
you, Mr.
The goalie?
Chairman.
Can you tell us that?
Sure. We have a number of different goalies, and this is a gender balanced hockey. It's very neutral. We have one female goalie and one male, one who's in the Army Reserves who plays with us, and Gary White, who's a great goalie, and another Beth Anderson who works at TCF Bank, and they're all great fun to play with. Representative Lilly and Carla Bingham and several others have been there on occasion, and it's a lot of fun. We've been doing this now every Sunday night at 8 o'clock since I don't know, maybe 15-16 years now, and it's a lot of fun. You're all welcome to come. Legislators and staff, we invite them all. Other than that, our ranks are closed. We're full up. We need more ice time and more ice available. So
any questions? Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Saltzman, Mr. Erickson, have you considered or looked at qualifying the outdoor temperature-controlled rinks to be able to access these funds? I know there's a debate occurring in our community in Bloomington about whether or not the city will expend money to provide those outdoor-controlled facilities, temperature-controlled facilities. I don't know that much about the technology, but I'm interested in knowing if that's something you're willing to look at. I mean, in Bloomington, we've got three sheets. We've reached the max. We have been a recipient, I think, in 98, perhaps, although we just did a full renovation of Rink 1 this past year, which was basically tearing it down and rebuilding it, I think, without assistance. And I'm just curious if that's something we're going to see emerging in a number of communities where perhaps a new rink or new sheet isn't likely.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Larson, I'd like to also thank, we're blessed here to have both Senator Rest and Senator Larson as past Amateur Sports Commission members, and we appreciate their past service. There's in the commission statute, there's quite a bit of language about Mighty Ducks rules and regs, like treating all congressional districts equally, specifies the amounts and so on. And I believe if it's not in statute, it was in Amateur Sports Commission board-approved regulation that we did allow in the last rounds that if a community wanted to do a outdoor refrigerated rink, that they would qualify for a new arena grant at the 250 level. I just want to be real honest with you about it, though. I mean, in an ideal, since everybody said, you know, everyone should go that direction and have an outdoor refrigerated rink versus building a complete enclosed rink. And Herb Brooks, well, he was on our board for 16 years. He championed that idea. But here was the dilemma. You have a community that has never had an ice arena before. And they've mobilized, and the community of Bagley, Minnesota, is going to build an indoor ice arena. They don't want an outdoor rink. They want to be like the community down the road, so that in those 5-6 years of Mighty Ducks, even though communities could have, you know, proposed an outdoor refrigerated, they all wanted the roof because they didn't want a shovel and so on. But the answer is yes. I think our board and I think statutes allow that in this future go around that a community that wanted to do outdoor refrigerated would be eligible.
Chair Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to follow up, Mr. Erickson, you happen to know what the cost is of the outdoor refrigeration?
There's a person behind me who does. They just put in three of them in the city of St. Paul. But Mr. Chairman, Senator Larson, and I want to give the cost too. We think the current cost of a new ice arena, put that on the record, is probably a minimum of $3.5 million, but more likely $4 million if it's built in the Twin Cities with Twin City codes and things like that. So again, the burden really is borne by the local community, and the state is really an incentive grant. It really isn't a building grant. And Bob Bierscheid, I think my guess is to build an outdoor refrigerated rink is in the $500,000-$600,000 per rink. You can take the answer to the question.
Welcome to the budget division. Please identify yourself, and we may need the spelling of your last name as well, too.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bob Bierscheid. It's B as in boy, I-E-R-S-C-H-E-I-D, and I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of St. Paul. The answer is, in St. Paul, we've completed two and have a third one that will go in this summer for next year. Our rinks average $350,000 for the technology. Now, the important thing, those it has a cement slab base, but it's the piping comes up and down. We take the piping out, so it's inline skating in the summertime, and then the piping goes down. And then each site has some variable to it, depending upon if there's lighting that needs and things like that.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, any further questions? Okay, well, Sarah Salzman, you were here earlier, I think, when I described the process we'll be going through. So on Wednesday, we will, after we're done hearing all the bills, and we'll start the ranking process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Then we'll go to Senator Anderson's bill, Senate File 2787. And Sarah Anderson, I'm...
Okay, I'll stay.
Yeah. Sarah Anderson, you probably were not here earlier. We're spending about 15 minutes for each one of the proposals that we have before us. We have three left in about 45 minutes, so it works. What we're doing is we're hearing mainly amateur sports bills for capital investment. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be hearing the Department of Administration, and those are the bills within our jurisdiction. The only fairest way I could think about it was after we get done hearing the bills, we'll just pass out a list of the bills to all the members of the budget division and just have them vote to rank them, number one and to the last, and they will tally up the things and submit that list to Senator Langseth, so that I'm not sending them a list of all the bills we heard, because that doesn't help them at all. So anyway, that's the process we'll begin. So we won't be voting on anything today, but we will be trying to rank them after we hear all the bills on Wednesday. So Senator Anderson, welcome to the budget division.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I just had to point out that my children are skating on one of those outdoor rinks right now with another mom who has off today, and those are fantastic in our city, so people enjoy them a lot. We're here to talk about our proposal to set up an urban amateur sports commission in St. Paul, and as I understand it, you've heard a number of related ideas for around the state, so this hopefully will fit into that context. The City of St. Paul and the Amateur Sports Commission are working together on this proposal with a goal of trying to identify St. Paul as an urban center for youth, family, and amateur sports. The goal of this proposal is to renovate the the Midway Stadium, and also to create a network of soccer parks throughout the city. So together, those would create an overall amateur sports facility that would meet the hugely growing need we have for soccer facilities in the region, along with all the amateur sports activities that go on at Midway Stadium. So our bill is requesting planning dollars at this point to get that process started in the bonding bill. I'd like to also recognize here with me Bob Yoshai, who we just heard from as the director of St. Paul Parks and Recreation. Paul Erickson will testify as well. And we have the co-owner of the St. Paul Saints here, Mike Vack. You want to raise your hand, Mike? Thank you for being here. Obviously, the Saints are one of the best-known tenants of Midway Stadium, but it's also used for a large range of amateur sports activities as well. So we're all working together as partners in this proposal. So we'll have Paul Erickson talk about the need for an urban regional sports commission and the growth and benefits of soccer. Bob Bierscheid can talk specifically about Midway Stadium and what that brings to youth and amateur sports. So I will turn it over to
Mr. Erickson.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. The Amateur Sports Commission is a relatively young agency created in 1987. The state park system, I think it's been around 100 years. There's 71 state parks. You have a number of state universities. And we've had an evolution of ideas from the Perpich Manifesto that he wanted to have an Olympic training center for every Olympic winter and summer sport. And then as through our experience, we realized what facilities performed the best and what should the state strategy be. Last October, the Board of the Amateur Sports Commission approved the map that you have here. It isn't our intention to come to you with an unending number of sites where the state should make a strategic investment. We believe that we should have a select number of sites that focus on amateur sport tourism. And so you received presentations today from Rochester Southeast, Marshall Southwest, and Moorhead Northwest. Blaine is, you know, the world's largest soccer complex, world's largest ice arena. That's our headquarters and hub. We find that our facilities in Blaine are overrun by many people, especially people from Minneapolis, St. Paul. All of the immigrant groups to Minnesota play soccer. I mentioned just a few moments ago that the state has a significant shortage of soccer fields like we do ice arenas. But if you but there's probably a more I don't want to diminish the need for ice arenas, because you've invested in that, it's been very successful, but we equally have a need in soccer fields. So for our major tournaments in Blaine, we would love to have a satellite series of sites in St. Paul and to have St. Paul play a role of hosting these regional events. St. Paul has all of the hospitality infrastructure in the world with hotels and restaurants, so you don't have to complete that part. So what we want to do, and we've started a process a couple years. St. Paul has one of the most gifted parks and rec directors in the state with Bob Bierscheid. He was at Roseville. We worked with him on the speed skating, and we've hosted Star of the North games with him. And that's one of the really good considerations why it's important to have a good relationship and a good plan for St. Paul. So it makes sense for the state to assist and be a partner in developing more athletic, especially soccer fields, in the city of St. Paul. The need is there, and it has an economic return. If just as the big tournaments in Blaine and the regions will do their thing, so will quality tournaments in St. Paul, and you have all the other tourism amenities to attract out-of-state visitors. And so what we plan to do is take this planning money and to do it right, just as we're recommending in Marshall, not to come with a full proposal, but to say, let's get some planning money, let's analyze the five or six sites that St. Paul has and come up with a strategy that makes sense from a state amateur sports commission point of view and makes sense from a city needs point of view. We want the facilities to do two things: serve local needs, making sure that the residents have quality recreation, and on weekends and on holidays, host tournaments that bring dollars into the community and vitality into the community. It's a big thing to have, like in Blaine, where you have teams from Brazil and England and Norway. It creates a lot of quality of life for those neighborhoods in St. Paul to have that type of vitality. So with that, my esteemed colleague and good friend, Bob Bierscheid.
Mr. Bierscheid.
First of all, I'd like to thank Senator Anderson and Paul Erickson and Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. As I mentioned before, I have the privilege of serving as Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of St. Paul. I would also caution you not to lessen any of your ideas about the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission because of the credibility of Mr. Erickson's comments about me, but I appreciate that anyway. I am very pleased to be here with Paul and the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission to support the designation of St. Paul as an urban regional sports center. I'd also like to acknowledge in the audience Mr. Jim Rail, who's one of our members of our amateur baseball community, several teams that we have to participate out at Midway Stadium. I'll make my comments brief, but I'm going to speak specifically on a portion of our proposal that deals with Midway Stadium as an amateur sports facility. The current Midway Stadium is 30 years old. It is a home to, of course, the St. Paul Saints, one of the best-known baseball teams in the country, but also sectional and state high school baseball tournaments, the Hamline University baseball team, and countless youth and amateur baseball teams, and is also the home for a number of football teams. The current Midway Stadium is actually Minnesota's third Midway Stadium. The first, known as Lexington Park, was built in 1920s and hosted the first Saints team, and by the way, was historically home to some of America's great, and in terms of baseball players, Willie Mays played at the original Saints Stadium. The second park was built in 1957, and the current Midway Stadium was built in 1982. There is an incredible amount of Minnesota history in these all of these ball fields that I mentioned. It is important to appreciate the breadth of Midway's activities in a given year. In 2007, Midway Stadium was open 212 days of the year. 176 of those days were filled with students, adults, and families for one event or another. Only 50 of those days were for the Saints games. That's over 125 days of amateur and youth activities. Out of the total of 320,000 baseball game attendees in 2007, 56% of them were for Saints games. The rest for municipal, Legion, college, and regional high school games. High school and rec center football brought in another 5,000 fans in the chilly autumn months. The result of these several hundred thousand visitors is increased economic benefit to St. Paul and the entire North Metro area. And by the way, we would like to invite you this summer to St. Paul. We will be hosting the 2008 Star of the North Games, in which we anticipate between 7,000 and 8,000 athletes from around Minnesota will be coming to St. Paul. Hopefully most of you have had a chance to attend an event at Midway, and you don't need a lot of facts and figures. Midway is bursting at the seams. This project is about meeting the demands currently at Midway. We're not about trying to grow more business. We just need to accommodate what we have, make it better, safer, and ready to last another 30 years. Again, I'm very pleased to be partnering with the Amateur Sports Commission. I think that this joint effort makes sense and is the best way to continue providing quality municipal facilities to youth and families and to serve as the economic stimulus for the City of St. Paul and the entire state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Erickson, I do have one question. I noticed the Amateur Sports Commission did provide rankings for the various projects. This was not ranked. Did it come in later on after your ranking process, or how can we view it?
We have six projects, and this is unranked, but it has the good favor of the board. It came after the process that we submit to the Department of Finance and the legislature. You know, is 6 months ago it ends, and so this project came after that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Sarah Anderson, yeah.
Can I just make another
comment,
if I may? And, you know, the City of St. Paul has been talking about the need for more soccer fields as well as the needs for the stadium, the Midway Stadium, for years. And so it's really exciting to have this partnership with the Amateur Sports Commission to try to put this together as a package that can serve the whole region and serve the youth and the sports teams in the whole region. I know that, you know, the Saints are also really well known under Mike Vec for bringing really fun baseball to the metropolitan area. It's been incredibly popular and brought thousands and thousands of people into the games. But I think the point that we want to make is that that's really just the tip of the iceberg of the use of this facility. And I know some of you probably, I know some of you definitely were there for a wedding reception in 1995.
Yours.
I don't know how many wedding receptions have been held at the same stadium, but ours may have been the only one in history. But it's used for so many great purposes, and it really serves the community, and we'll do better, be able to do that with this kind of support. So we'd really appreciate your support.
I was at that reception.
I thought you were.
I was there.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. So it was
fun, wasn't it? It was a great day. Yeah,
it was a nice summer day. Right. Yes.
It was really fun. It took my husband like 3 months to talk me into it, but it was a great decision once I finally agreed. It was really fun.
Some of those guests here, just so they know who showed up today.
Sure. Let's see. We have, help me with everybody's name. We have Joel Spencer from the Mayor's Office of St. Paul, and who else from the state?
Tom Woolley.
Tom Whaley.
Yeah, that's right. Tom Whaley is
Eric
here.
Eric Scherer, the general manager.
But Bob Cleveridge. Oh, there he is. There's Bob. Yeah. And anyone else? Great. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so
Any
much.
Any questions? Thank you, Senator Chair.
Thank
members. You.
Appreciate it.
And Senator Chaudhary, we have Senate File 2355. And you were not here earlier, Senator Chaudhary, so I'll explain the process. We're hearing all the amateur sports bills today, not voting on any of them. We're also going to be taking up the Department of Administration's bonding proposals on Wednesday. After we've heard all the proposals, we're going to just submit a list of the bills we've heard, the proposal we've heard to all the budget division members, and they'll vote number one all the way down, and then they will just total everything up. And Senator Langseth has asked for to have a ranking submitted to him, and that's probably the fairest way to do it. So anyway, we've got about 15 minutes per each bill, so go ahead, Senator Chaudhary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 2355 calls for $125,000 for the pre-design and schematic design for the retooling of an existing building and adjacent parking at the Twin Cities Arsenal site. It's basically a big piece of federal government property that was used by the Army for manufacturing bullets and other armaments. It's no longer used. This particular portion where this building is already owned by Ramsey County. It was granted by the federal government to Ramsey County how many years ago?
A year and a half ago.
So this portion of the northwest corner of the TCAP property, that land situation's already been settled. And it's also given to the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission for sport purposes at this site. The building is adjacent to ideal terrain for outdoor sports. And so the idea is to combine renovation of the building and the adjacent unique terrain to facilitate large cross-country ski and mountain bike and cyclocross events. The building would also be available for DNR-related outdoor education activity for fishing, hunting, and wilderness education. And Mr. Erickson will explain the rest of the details.
Mr. Erickson, and also one question I've got you may want to address. I know for many years there's been some issues about land contamination with this particular site. I don't know if that's been resolved over the years or not, but, you know, go ahead, Mr. Erickson.
Mr. Chairman, you have a handout that has 3-4 pages. The one I'd like to have you turn your attention to is the one that has some red and has a map. To answer your first question, Mr. Chairman, is that the condition of the federal government deeding this to Ramsey County, the city of Arden Hills, and other entities, is that the federal government had to certify that it had all been cleaned up. And there has been soil con- con- contamination removal going on for the past 10 years. So that we have been told by the authorities that administer the site that by the time it's turned over to these entities that those sites will have to be certified and they're cleaned up. The nice thing about our outdoor activities, they really don't deal with, you know, disturbing a cross-country ski event in the winter or a mountain bike race on the trails. Really doesn't deal with those issues, I'm told by the people who run the place. Now, this is a very unusual site and a very unusual project, but I want to, you might find it interesting that the Amateur Sports Commission expressed interest in this project going back to 1987. When the agency was first formed, we inquired, when would this site ever be available? As Minnesota is a relatively flat state, especially the metro region, we did a study when we funded the Bloomington Ski Jump years ago, and the Met Council Parks and Open Space Division did a study on what part of the metropolitan area has the most vertical drop. There were two sites indicated, the banks of the Mississippi near the airport and Fort Snelling, and Arden Hills. And so if you look at this map, you'll see all of those topographical lines. Those of you who have ever done any orienteering or served in the military know that that means there are big hills there. And the next time you drive by Highway 10, 694, you'll notice the very, you know, interesting and terrain. So right away, there have been sports enthusiasts in the cross-country ski and the cycling and also in the outdoor education community that have been waiting for access. And so we believe that this project provides a quality public access to a very unique set of terrain. And I think it's possible. Since the National Sports Center and Amateur Sports Commission, we're in the event business. We've created the world's largest youth sporting event, a youth soccer tournament with 16,000 kids in it, a hockey event, you know, that has 4,000 kids in it. We believe that just as we've built a soccer complex or an ice arena, that we have a natural site that if it was developed correctly, you could have a cross-country ski event with 4,000 skiers, because the terrain would command the respect of a skier in Wisconsin or Chicago or Idaho to fly into the Twin Cities and to do an event on this site. Now, we need to do, you know, some more planning and research, but that's exactly why we're here, not with a full request, but $125,000 to say, let's renovate the building. But the agency then would be given time to assess what type of outdoor hunting, outdoor education experiences could be held here, what type of cross-country skiing, cycling, and so on. But I can tell you that it has the God-given attributes to be an asset for local recreation and for recreation that would cause someone to travel from another state to compete here. We're on the front end of it. So it's quite an intriguing project. It's a little, you know, different than the other things that we brought you. But the next time you drive through Arden Hills, take a look at that big ridge there, and you'll understand its value as a recreational asset. So that's what we're here for, is to get some planning so a process could start to eventually make this something that would be of value to the general public and the sports tourism industry.
Thank you. Any questions? And Sarah Chowdhury, did you have anybody else here on this?
Nope.
Mr. Erickson, thank you. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Erickson, and Senator Chowdhury. I don't see this on the map. How does this fit into the kind of the plan?
That's Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, that's a very good question. We see this as an extension of the Blaine campus. We to make this efficient, if this building was retrofitted, we would simply have National Sports Center Foundation staff, you know, look at this as an extension campus that would come down and run events on event days, and it might be quite dormant on non-event days. So we don't look at it as a separate regional center. We look at it as an extension of Blaine.
They're, what, about 8 miles apart, something like that?
Yeah, it's a seven-minute drive to have staff go back and forth, so there's some efficiencies there. Sure.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you, Senator
Chowdhury. Thank you.
And then, since we're not voting today, I'll just let Mr. Erickson present the last bill, which I introduced. It's NFL 2496, the National Sports Center Asset Preservation.
It's
So, Mr. Erickson.
Okay. Just give me 10 seconds. There we go. Yeah. Just down. Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank Senator Betzel for offering the bill. It's greatly appreciated. There's a handout. We have six projects plus St. Paul, making seven. This is our second agency priority. And those of you who are part of the Capital Bonding Committee had the privilege of attending the National Sports Center Legislative Pothole Rally, where in order to demonstrate one of the needs is to get in a cart and drive through the parking lots to see the problems with the parking lot. Let me just give you a little context. This facility is well utilized. Your investment has paid off. This facility has 4 million annual visitors. It's the state's flagship amateur sports facility. And most people don't realize that it is not operated by state employees. The Amateur Sports Commission was given authority by the legislature to create a nonprofit corporation called the National Sports Center Foundation. It's fully controlled by the Amateur Sports Commission so that the state assets are protected. But now, it's quite unique in that the facility has never received a state subsidy to operate. The operating budget of the National Sports Center is approaching $11 million a year. And you should feel good that this facility opened its doors in 1989, has never come to you and said, bail us out. There, as you know, there's been some celebrated other state facilities that could not get through a biennium. They had to ask for an appropriation. This facility has found a formula to charge enough to the families to get enough sponsorship to cover the operating costs. And one thing I want to point out, we have also done much of the short-term and mid-term maintenance repair. Those of you who run a business, you know you have your 20-year, 25-year capital replacement. But many things in the office, like computers or air conditioning units, go out after 5 years. This facility has been able to cover those. But the compact that we felt that the agency has with the legislature, that the initial buildings, and there's about, I think, $26 million in state investment at the National Sports Center, is a state responsibility. This little National Sports Center Foundation has operated, has done the short-term and the mid-term capital replacement. But when it comes to the 25-year capital replacement, there isn't enough resource. On that $11 million budget, there's about $100,000 of margin. I don't want to call it profit because that goes back in to repair things. So what this request is for $1.5 million, and there's two main projects. And this we, I think, aptly demonstrated. And the Mr. Chairman, you were there. You saw that the parking lots are in rough shape. And most of the lots were only done with one layer, and most parking lots normally have two layers. So this is necessary to maintain the quality of the facility, $800,000 there. And then the original building that came online in the fall of 89, the sports hall, the roof is leaking. Not so it impairs, the activity, but it does have several leaks, and it's due for its roof replacement. There are a couple of other things that are approaching 20 years where we've repaired once or twice, some HVAC and some lighting controls that do need some replacement, and so it adds up to $1.5 million. And so that when you look at the entire list of state assets and what you as a legislature have to do to keep them in good condition, we'd like you to give us good consideration, because here's a nonprofit entity of the state which has cared for the facility, all the operating costs, the short-term and the mid-term capital replacement, but now we're coming to those big, 20-year and 25 replacements. So we believe that this is an appropriate state responsibility, and we think that it's a good investment because of the utilization and benefit that this facility brings for Minnesota. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And did you have anybody else on this particular issue?
Had you and I as the...
All right, we're it. Okay. Any questions?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Oh, Sir Roebling.
I'm curious that this isn't number one, because I do believe that we need to maintain the assets that we have already before we build new. So I just want to make that comment, because I think we so often think that it's a good idea to put up something new and glamorous, but it's not so glamorous to take care of things that we've already made investments in. And certainly we do that with our Minsky buildings and our U of M buildings sometimes too. And I just think it's important not to let these things fall into disrepair. And then we have to come back and spend a whole lot more later. So I think that this should be a very high priority.
Well, Sarah Roebling, they've got their list. We'll make our priorities. The Capital Investment Committee will make its priorities, but that's what we're going through this process for. So, anything else? Okay, Mr. Erickson, I think we're going to finish her off here. Thank you. Did anybody else want to be heard on anything before we close up here for today? I think, as I say, when we prepare a list for you to vote off of, we'll give you a file number if there was one. The chief author, just a brief description, the cost of the bill, and then probably how the agency saw it, the agency rank, and then we'll just let you just vote. What's your number one priority, number two, and so forth all the way down, and we'll have to get that turned around a fairly short time period, because I got to get this to the Capital Investment Committee so that they can finish the bill off, I think, next week. So any questions about what we're going to be doing here? If not, Sarah Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have any idea of how much money this portion of, or are we just submitting these based on what you said is the range?
Sarah Langstas said we have a slice, whatever
a slice.
That means. We're
slice
part of the pie. And of course, as he indicated, he has to try to balance the whole bill, you know, not only by budget divisions, but by region of the state. There's just a lot of factors that go in and trying to come up with a well-balanced bill, and I don't envy his task. I think he's said that he's got about $4 billion of the requests, and he's going to have a bill probably that's under a billion. So there's a lot of...
961,
yes. You're on the Capital Investment Committee, Sarah Pappas? Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right. Any other questions or comments? If not, thank you. Meeting's adjourned.
You know what? I'm wrong.
Yeah. Huh?
Take $50 million away.
Take $50 million just to pay for it, yeah.
Because so he transferred...